Shalom Rabotai, Tzahraim Tovim. So, continuing our trek, our journey through Choshen Mishpat, we spoke about an idea yesterday that was brought by the Poskim, that there's not necessarily a direct relationship between Shmirah and Achrayut, which means there are certain situations where you can fulfill your Shmirah to the max, and yet still be Chayav because of an outstanding Achrayut that you accept upon yourself. And we learned that that's one of Chiyuvei Shmirah, Shomer Sachar. And like we said, we learned Chiyuvei Shomer Sachar and other Shomerim for that matter, but Shomer Sachar especially from none other than Yaakov Avinu. It says, I didn't sleep. Yaakov Avinu was no stranger to not sleeping because, don't forget, this wouldn't be the first 14-year period of his life that he didn't sleep, correct? On the way, running away from Esav on his way, even before he got to Lavan, he took a 14-year pit stop, which the Torah doesn't even talk about explicitly, in Yeshivat Shem Ha'Ever, where he didn't sleep. Yeah, he didn't sleep for 14 years. Shnei Emar, as Rashi brings down in the Pasuk. Yeah. Vayalin Sham, Vayishkav, b'makom ahu lafuke, that he didn't do so until then, not to say he didn't fall asleep, obviously fell asleep, but didn't lie down to sleep for 14 years. Interesting, every period in his life where he didn't sleep was for a 14-year period. The first 14-year period was Shemaeve. And the next 14-year period was Lavan, which ended up being 20 years at the end, but it started off as 14 until he started making money. Yes? So, interesting, before we continue with this, there's an interesting midrash in last week's parasha. The midrash says that Lavan was such a con artist, he was a schemer, and he actually, what he did was he didn't want to pay for the wedding. Lavan was a rich guy, but he was a cheap scammer. As Mawasa, he took loans to pay for Rachin / Leah's wedding. Was really supposed to be Rachin, which ended up being Leah. He took loans from all sorts of creditors, and he didn't pay for it himself. And then he gathered all the townspeople in Haran or wherever, you know, Padan Aram, wherever they were, to tell them. He says, "Listen, Yaakov Avinu is coming into the town, and he's going to bring so much bracha." And because of that, he says, "How about you chip in? It's in your best interest to pay for this wedding, so you can enjoy the dividends of Yaakov staying here." And what he did was he tricked everybody into
paying for their seats,
paying for the entire wedding, which means he got away with an entire wedding completely muffed by getting everybody else to pay for it. So the first one who actually, you know, made this concept, established this idea of throwing a party and having everybody else pay for it, was Lavan. Go figure. Did you know that?
Did he charge $350 per seat?
I don't know what he charged, but he got everybody to pay for it. Yeah.
So nowadays we're learning from Lavan. Nowadays Jews were learning from Lavan.
The people who do that, you mean? Yeah. The people who throw parties, make weddings, and have everybody else pay for them?
Yeah.
The Torah doesn't believe in that. The Torah believes in reciprocal benefits, you know, help and stuff like that. But to throw such a, you know, an ostentatious wedding and have everybody else pay for it? No. The Torah very much believes in living within your means, which means if you're a rich guy and you want to throw, I'm not saying for whatever, but you're a rich person and you can afford to throw a big, nice party, whatever, and you're going to pay for it and have people come and enjoy, say, I get it. Why? But then you're standing on your own two feet. If you're a middle class, or what we'll call it, a little bit lower on the socioeconomic pyramid, you have no business throwing these kinds of parties that are bombastic and you can't afford. You know, now instead of taking loans and having people pay and finding ways, you know, all sorts of ideas how you're going to pay it off, the first idea in your head should be, what's the first idea?
Well, maybe off my kid with a
no. Forget about that for a second. Forget it. If it's not within my means, so I'm just gonna do something more tanua. The Torah believes in tzniut. There's absolutely nothing wrong. You remember, anybody here have ever been to a COVID wedding?
My sister. Yeah.
Actually, no,
bar mitzvah.
My sister.
Huh? No, COVID, like one of those backyard 10 people kiddush weddings.
We did it at a park.
Yeah. So, Rabotai, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that COVID weddings weren't the standard. By the way, many COVID weddings that people had were reminiscent of higher class weddings back in the day. Where do you think back in the Haim, where people came from, where do you think they did weddings? They didn't have holes and stuff. What'd they do? Backyards, and they had like whatever. The Rama actually speaks about situations where people did weddings on Fridays, on Yom Shishi, Erev Shabbat. Why? Because people were so poor, they could not afford a Saudat Chatuna. So what did they do it? They did, interesting combo, they did a Erev Shabbat afternoon, they did Chupa, V'Kiddushin, V'Anyanim, and then the Kahal used to go Daven, Mincha Kabbalat Shabbat V'Arvit, and what was the wedding meal? Saudat Lin Shabbat. That was it. Why? Because people couldn't afford much. And that's what they did. And everybody was happy. Everybody got married. You're here, which means what? Apparently it worked. Yeah. So you have to live within your means. Live bitzniut. Don't live in ways that are not, it's also not classy. You know, classes? People think class is whatever's high class. It's not true. Class is, you can have class even with simpler things. You know that? The classiest thing is to live within your means. Is to, if you're making a chatuna, so there's a little bit less food, a little bit of a, maybe not such an expensive hall, maybe instead of a 38-piece orchestra, so you have a 3.8-piece band, it's not the end of the world. Living within means is classy. That's classy. Why? You don't have to come onto loans. We pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say, we daven for it. The Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim prayed for it. Shelo yitzterchu amecha bet Yisrael parnasa ze laze velo la'am acher. Ve'al tatzirchenu lidei matinat basar v'adam velo lidei halva'atam. You say in Bikat Amazon, correct? Kim liyadecha ha'gdola ha'chava mle'a ve'petucha. If that's the case, what do you have to go into situations? You need to take loans, and you need to take. Sometimes it's inevitable because even to get to the basics, I understand that. But if you're going above and beyond, and you have to take loans, and you have to, you need people's gifts. Don't take anybody's loans. Don't take gifts. So stand on your own two feet. It's classy. If you can afford it, okay, I get it. And by the way, just because you can afford it, just because you've got it, doesn't mean you have to flaunt it. It's another thing. Okay. Rich people also have to live b'tzni'ut. The chashuv, people think they associate tzni'ut with women's dress, which is also true. Every single Jewish person has to live b'tzni'ut. Tzni'ut is in dress, tzni'ut is in behavior, tzni'ut is in the way we carry ourselves, in speech, in ideology. All these things are under the umbrella of tzni'ut. It's very, very important. Don't be lavan. Don't trick people into bankrolling your way of life. Lavan was a jerk. Lo bemet, he was a really, really bad guy. Bad guy. He's Grandpa Lavan. He's Grandpa, but, We had some difficult family members. We had Lavan, Aya Isav, Aya Ishmael, Aya Terach, Balagan. Yeah, Matchilim Bignut, Umsamim Beshevach, Mitechila. How do we start the Agada? Mitechila, Ovde Avoda Zara, Ayu Avotenu. Ve'ata Kirvanu Amakom Baruchu. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us back, Nachon, Hakol Tov. But, okay. Just because we had such family members doesn't mean you have to subscribe to that. You know what an MO is? Modus operandi? Standard operating procedure. That doesn't have to be your operating procedure. What do you call that by the computers? Operating system. OS. Mm-hmm. What's your operating system?
Linux.
No, Torah Mitzvot. Anyway, the kids are... Evanta? Torah is our operating system. Tov Rabotai. I'll say a vart about this. There's an interesting... let me ask you a question. And from this, we'll see the yesod that I started off with. There's a Rashba, the Masechet Kiddushin, the Yud Gimel. Over there, the Gemara discusses a situation where, let's say, I gave a woman a pikadon, something to watch, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the pikadon thing, I said, "Oh, Plonit, you remember I gave you an item to watch for me?" She says, "Yeah." I say, "Hareat mekudeshetli with the item that I gave you to watch for me." It's like getting hit in the face with a ton of bricks. And the Gemara over there, and she didn't throw it away. She held on to it and she was shotiket. She was silent. Mekudeshet or lo mekudeshet. Rava, other Amoraim, get into it. Now the Gemara discusses over there, why? Now, in general, if you just walk over to a woman with a chifetz and you say, Hareat mekudeshetli with this, and you shove it into her hand. Now, if she wanted not to be mekudeshet, what would she do? We know that's the very big difference between, we're learning this Masechet Yevamot. The underlying difference between Yibum and Kiddushin is that whereas Yibum does not require the Yevama's consent, at least on a Doraita level, Kiddushin very much does. So if I go over to a lady and I stuff a chifetz in her hand and I say, Arat mekudeshet me, what does she have to do in order to not be mekudeshet? To keep it?
Throw it away.
She has to make a mecha'ah.
But if she throws it away, it's not necessarily because she could have been
trying to test it. That was a habamina the Gemara over there also. Nachon. Aval, but she has to say something to the extent of, no, I don't want it. Scream, throw it away. The Gemara over there discusses, why would it be possibly in this pikadon case, why would she not want to throw it away? Because over here, and the Gemara discussed, oh, she says, since I'm a shomerit already on this, if I throw it away, perhaps I'm going to become chayav for the damages of the chifetz. And therefore what? Her silence over here, or her lack of throwing it away, may not necessarily be indicative of her da'at to be mekabel kiddushin. The Rashba brings a machloket rishonim on this topic. What happens? Shlomo asked me to watch something for him. Yeah, he gives me this. He says, can you watch it for a month? I said, we said, then buy it. Okay, you give it to me. 2 weeks later, I get busy. It's taking too much time, whatever. I want to give it back. And you say, no, I'm not done. You agreed to watch it for a month. Can I force the Baal HaBayit to take it back? I don't want it. Here's your object. And the Baal HaBayit says, I'm not taking it back. You agreed to a month. So I say, here, I shove it in your hands or I throw it into your reshut, and then later a damage happens to it. Who's on the hook? Good. Wait. The Rashba quotes Ra'avad. Magid Mishneh says the same thing as the Ra'avad. Da'at Ra'avad and Magid Mishneh, they both say that you cannot forfeit a shmirah before the time is up. Doesn't work. You accepted to watch it for a month, that's on you. And therefore, if I give it back prematurely, against your will, and something happens to it, who's on the hook? Me. Okay? Rashba disagrees. Rashba omer, lo nachon. Why? Listen carefully. It says, why is a shomer any different than a po'el, a worker? Can I ask you a question, Meshar? Would you hire me? Do I look hireable to you? Okay. Anyway. So, Mesha hires me for a job. Midday. What's my skill set? Okay, Besedin.
Talmudic scholar?
Yeah. Okay, Besedin. Mesha hires me. Yeah. Did you say Shas? Skill set? I think Shas is a great skill set. It's a good start. Anyway, Bekitzer. In the middle of the job, I say, Meshar, not for me. I don't like this job. Great employer and everything, whatever, but this job is not for me. I want to quit. Is a po'el allowed to quit midday or midterm of the work?
He just won't get paid for it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, he'll get paid for the work that he did, but the boss says, you can't quit. I'm not letting you. And if you do, I'm not paying you for anything. Who's the halakha with?
Did he charge for the whole day?
Even if there's a contract, does a contract mean I cannot quit?
Is he being paid for the hour? Is he being paid for the day?
Yeah, let's say a day, whatever. A day? La'alacha, Poein is allowed to quit. Even if there's a contract.
And the boss has to pay.
He has to pay him for the work that he did.
How do you calculate the entire job?
Still. No, so you have to pay him for... Yeah. Now, time out. The Gemara says an interesting svara. Why a Poel is allowed to quit midday? What's the svara? Because over here, if I can't quit my job, what does that mean the relationship becomes between me and Meshar? It's Evid. It's no longer employee and employer. It's now... Eved and master. What does the Torah say about Bnei Yisrael? Ki li Bnei Yisrael avadim. Avadai hem asher hoceti otam eretz Mitzrayim. The Gemara says, avadai hem velo avadim la avadim. Therefore, you have to allow me to quit. I have to be able to quit because otherwise, I'm not a poel, I'm an Eved. Says the Rashba in Kiddushin. Listen to this. I love the Rashba. It's so great. Now, he says... What would you do to be a fly on the wall in the Rashba's Beis Medrash? Just a fly on the wall.
You be that cricket that could be actually
looked
at. Mamash.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The cricket, after being looked at by Rav Chaim, probably died. No, because it fulfilled its tafkid. So, it was born over here to show Rav Chaim a certain halacha b'ilchot chagavim, v'achar kach mit. Mistama. Anyway, if Hashem wanted it to.
Yeah.
It wasn't. I don't know if it was a cricket. It was some sort of a cricket. Is
no, shiratim
grasshopper. Yeah. Anyway, because he was writing on it. Rav Chaim was writing a pirush. So mikol makom, the Rashba says. So what is the difference if you're telling me a shomer cannot quit midterm? What's the difference between him and a poel? And therefore, the Rashba says I don't see a difference. If a poel can quit, so can a shomer. Interestingly, Maran Shulchan Aruch, yeah, Paskins like Siman Resh Tzadigim al Choshen Mishpat, Paskins like the Ravid, like the Rava Magid, not like the Rashba, which means you can't quit if you're a shomer. And all of the Mefarshim on Choshen Mishpat, the Machane Ephraim, Rabbeinu Ephraim Navon, the Tumim, Mize Tumim, his Yartzai was yesterday, Yud Aleph Bekislev. Tumim. Mize? No. That's today. Tumim's, you might know another sefer that he wrote better.
About Tumim?
No. Tumim. He wrote Ya'arot Devash.
Oh, I know the sefer. I heard of it.
Rabbi Yonison Eibishitz. It's a Perush on Yored De'ah called Kreti Ufleti, and a Perush on Choshen Mishpat called Mize Urim et Tumim. So the Rabbi Yonison Eibishitz also asked this question to Mim, Siman Resh Tzadigiman, one of the mightiest Perushim on Choshen Mishpat, Gaon Atzum, She'en Kedugmato, Mamash Kacha. Anyway, so he writes over there, he says, what are you going to do with the Rashba's Kasha? I know Maran, you're Paskin like the Ravid, but you're going to, now the onus is on you, you have to prove to me, what's the difference, or you have to answer this question, what's the difference between a Po'el, who can quit, and a Shomer, who can't? What's the difference? He says, you know what the difference is? Stay with me. What was the reason the Gemara said Poel can quit? Eved, Avdut. He says, by a Shomer, you don't have that. A Shomer doesn't have to work. A Shomer doesn't have to watch. A Shomer just has to not be poshea. He has to not be negligent. He has to not be derelict in watching the... Yeah! And therefore what? You can't compare him to Poel because what? He's not working. Oh, yafe. Which means, that's why he says, stay with me. Comes out. Look at me, people. Who's the only Shomer that doesn't have to work and just not be Poshea? Shomer Chinam. According to him, the Rashba was only talking about their whole machloket is by Shomer Chinam. Can I ask you a question? Shomer Sachar. Does the Shomer Sachar have to work? Does the Shomer Sachar have to watch actively? Oh yeah! According to the Tumim, and according to the Machane Ephraim, he says, Meforash, that even the Ravid would agree to the Rashba, that you're allowed to quit, because that's like a poyin, because you're working. That's them. You know who argues?
Rambam.
Ketzayis. No. Why would the Rambam argue with the Tumim?
Yeah, what are you doing?
No, that was a gij move. Nachon? Was that good usage? So,
it's modern slang, ignorance.
No, it's not modern slang, it's Persian.
Yeah, dude.
It's definitely not modern.
So, how do you explain Gage?
Stupid man.
It's a clip of move. Anyway, so the Ktzais gives a beautiful answer disagreeing with the Machane Ephraim and the Tumim. Says, no. The Ktzais says this applies to all Shomrim. Rashba says, by all Shomrim, you'll be able to quit. And the Ravid in Magid Mishnah says that by all Shomrim, you won't be able to quit. You know why? He says, you're right. They're working. You know what the difference is? You know why it's not a po'el? You know how we answer the Rashba's Kasha? You know why the Shomer Sachar, for instance, is not a po'el? Because even when he works, can I ask you a question? Let's say he worked and he watched completely or whatever, and he locked it and he went to sleep, and it still got broken out, still got robbed. Is he still chayav to pay? Yes. That's not because of derelict or a lack of shmirah. That's because of an additional level of achrayut. Not because of his job. The fact that he's paying over here is not because of his work. It's because of what? You accepted a higher level of achrayut. And therefore, since you accepted that, you have to pay it. That a po'el doesn't have. Does a po'el have an extra level of achrayut? No, he just has to do what? It's got to work. That's the difference between a shomer and a po'el. And that's why, even though a po'el can't quit, according to the Ktzot, none of the shomrim, shomer chinam and otherwise, they're not able to quit because they have this extra element. Like we said, there's a disconnect between the work that a shomer has to do, the shmirah that he has to do, and the achrayut that he accepted upon himself, which is not necessarily one and the same, as accentuated by this Ktzot HaChoshen. Have a wonderful day.